Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in the chapter More About Alcoholism. And we are going to be unpacking paragraph one today, which begins as we look back and ends with most of them within a few weeks. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Rhonda R., the 12 traditions, Stephanie L., and reading the text and support today would be Shelley E., Leslie M., Alex K., is going to be greeting newcomers this morning and get sponsor contact telephone numbers, so listen up for her at the end of the meeting. And then Robin P. will give announcements coming about 2 minutes to the top of the hour, so listen for those names as well. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting is, that would be Monday, October 10th, 19499, 19,499. And then this morning's Big Book Study meeting that started at 7 a.m. Eastern Time on the 11th of October was 19501, 19,501. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. I would like to ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rhonda. Can you press a quick star one for me, madam?
I was talking to myself. Thank you, Melanie, for your service. This is Rhonda R. in the Great Smoky Mountains today. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. Thank you very much. I will now ask Stephanie L. from California to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Thanks a lot, Stephanie.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California, the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Stephanie L. from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press *1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So anybody that would like to stay on standby with being unmuted, please, we would rather you not do that, but remain muted, please, for the sake of a nice quiet recording and a meeting today. Thank you. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, and we're on page 34 today. We are going to study paragraph 1, and it begins with as we look back and ends with most of them within a few weeks. And what I'd like to do is ask Shelley E. to begin this morning by reading that particular paragraph and unpack it for the directions and how she applies it to her own life. And then we'll have the opportunity to open up to the remaining fellowship here to be able to make more comment with their experience on that paragraph. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Ellie. Good morning, my fellow. I'm assuming I can be heard. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater, presently in Northern Michigan. Page 34, the Big Book, first paragraph. As we look back, we feel we had gone on drinking many years beyond the point where we could quit on our willpower. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try leaving liquor alone for 1 year. If he's a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is scant chance of success. In the early days of our drinking, we occasionally remained sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. Though you may be able to stop for a considerable period, you may yet be a potential alcoholic. We think few to whom this book will appeal can stay dry anything like a year. Some will be drunk the day after making their resolution, most of them within a few weeks. Again, Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. I'm really honored to have this paragraph. I know in with my history, I'm sure I've been a compulsive eater since birth, but I lived in a very strict environment. My parents are medical doctors. And so, They managed to manage me until the day they sent me off to college. Although I do remember at about, I don't know, 14 or 15, I must have been compulsively eating, and my mother said to me, "I hate it when you eat like this." And I was just floored. I had no idea what she was talking about. I did grow up in a house with eating disorders. I have two bulimic sisters and an exercise bulimic brother. And those were recognized diseases, whereas mine, as the fat one in the bunch, it was more of a willpower thing. You know, push away from the table. Why do you feel like you have to have one more of those? And from that we go to, what happened to that package of Oreos I bought yesterday? Yeah, well, we know what happened to it. So it wasn't until I got to be a little older that I realized I really had a problem. But along the way, I tried every diet, everything short of surgery. For some reason, I could understand that it really was not the size of my stomach and that the surgery was not going to help me. But you know, I could be abstinent for even a couple of years and lose weight, lose 100 pounds. But boy, that 100 pounds came back on fast once I started my maintenance and reintroducing things back in. So what I learned from that through the years is that willpower and self-will was getting me nowhere. I'm grateful that I was exposed to the Big Book, and now I rely on higher power to get me through the day and to get me through my life. That and the program. There's nothing like having sponsees. There's nothing like the power of prayer. And, you know, every morning I wake up an addict, but I'm willing to work the program. So if you're a newcomer, stay. You know, it will help. You will get better. It'll really suck at first, and it does feel like a diet at first. But once you get through and find your higher power, whatever that is, you too will get the same relief that the rest of us have gotten in a recovered state. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Millie.
Thank you very much, Shelley E. Shelley's from Michigan. Appreciate you opening us up this morning and getting us started. Now the opportunity has come for the remainder of the fellowship to be able to comment on paragraph 1, page 34 of the Big Book. If you would give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, I would be happy to take a lineup to hear more comment and experience.
Veronica B.
Hi, Veronica.
Amanda A.
Amanda, good morning.
Good morning. Tom A.
Tom A, hello.
April B.
Hey, April. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else this morning before we start going?
Eunice L.
Eunice.
Bessie
hello.
O.
Good morning. Bessie, B-E-S-S-I-E?
Yes.
Okay, Bessie O. Okay, let's go with that. That's six for now, and that way it gives somebody else a chance if we mix it up by opening it up again. So we have Veronica, Amanda, Tom, April, Eunice, and Bessie. We're going to start this morning with Veronica, followed by Amanda. Your 3 minutes start right now. Veronica.
Hi, good morning. I'm Veronica B. from California, recovered compulsive overeater. And I am a bulimic, been a bulimic since I was 15 years old. And I came into the rooms of OA in 09. And this reading refers to me because it talks about, like, I had no willpower when it came to my eating. Zero, none. I really would want to stop eating and throwing up, but I just couldn't do it on my own. I would wake up and I would say, okay, today, God, I'm not gonna eat and binge today, God. I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna eat my clean, healthy foods. And then by lunch, I would be, you know, something would trigger me. I would get disturbed, and then I was off and running. Because I use food for an effect. I use food to soothe my feelings. I use food to, like, change my perception about my life and my day. And food always took care of that. And so food had become my master. I had zero willpower. For for some time I would be able to go on a diet and lose my weight, and then I'll always be back and running again with that old behavior of knowing that the food would, you know, take care of my emotional feelings, because I'm an emotional sensitive being, which is what they talk about in the big book, that I'm a highly sensitive person, and that's like my biggest handicap. But anyways, I am just so grateful that I found a vision for you in 2019, and like my recovery has changed so much. I've been able to find a power greater than myself that restores me to sanity a day at a time. I had to learn to turn all things over to God, not just my food, but like my relationship with my boyfriend, my mom that has Alzheimer's, the caregivers that call in sick all the time that I got to show up for. Like I am restored to sanity. Today I'm living on, I trust God. I trust that what's happening in the day is exactly what is supposed to be happening. I trust God in guiding me and where he needs me today, and how he needs me to show up. And because today I know that the food plan is not going to take care of my emotional state. The food plan is going to take care of the allergy of the body. But it's the turning things over to God and surrendering to God that's going to give me that peace and serenity in my mind, which is where my disease lives. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Veronica B. from California. Next up is Amanda A., followed by Tom A. Hey, Amanda. Want to press a quick star one, then we'll be able to hear you.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Sorry about that. My name is Amanda, Amanda A. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm from Southern California as well. Very, very grateful to be here. This is my first live meeting, and I am new to OA, but not new to compulsive overeating. I'm so happy I logged on this morning. This is definitely, I was meant to hear this. So when I'm looking at this first paragraph, as we look back, we feel we have gone on drinking many, many years beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. It reminds me of every single diet that I have ever gone on. You know, it was at first, it was like easy. It was like, oh, the, you know, this diet or that diet. And I was so gung-ho, and I lost weight, and then it fizzled. And then it was back to that overeating, and back to not like feeling the way I did. It went like that for so many years, like every single year, you know, New Year's Day, like my goal this year to lose weight or stay on my diet. And it would like, it would, it's so funny, it would like fizzle out. And it's just, everyone here has spoken to me so much as well. And I did get a sponsor. We are doing Big Book and A Vision for You, working through the steps. So I'm very grateful to be here. Abstinent for a week now, so that is amazing. And honestly, I've never felt more hope. So I'm so grateful to be here. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you very much, Amanda A. Amanda from California, Southern Cal. Next up is Tom A. from Maryland, followed by April B. Hey, Tom. Your 3 minutes happens to go right now. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your service. Tom A. from Maryland. Gratefully recovered in OA. It's actually one of my lines that struck me early on about the Big Book. I used to ask people in the program, I think I should, I always had all this doubt. I'm not that bad. I'm different. I'm not that bad. I have a problem, but it's not that bad. And, you know, I can not that bad myself into death, really. And I'd say, I think I need to go out and experiment and do what you want to do, you know. And it's about surrender. And there's a line in some of the literature that talks about who cares to admit complete defeat? Practically no one. And that was me. I've been in OA for 40 years, but it was only two or three years ago that I admitted complete defeat, that I was willing to really see that by giving myself permission to have these comfort foods every once in a while, and I knew I was eating them out of control, but I just thought I could get away with it. And I just realized that that was, that if I'm not abstinent, then I'm not fully working the steps and I'm not getting the benefits of the recovery. It's what I love about the vision. It's very clear. We get abstinent. We put down the food. We admit we're totally powerless. And then we work these steps. We have a spiritual awakening and we get recovered and we can carry the message. And so I have to keep paying attention to both things, to staying abstinent and working the steps. Working the steps means admitting I'm powerless and eating sanely and having a sponsor and working with others and doing my 10th step. And I've been through kind of a rough patch the last 3 or 4 days with just a lot of losses and emotional challenges. And I my higher power helped me realize in my quiet this morning, it's time to just rest and listen and see what the higher power has in store for me. I'm grateful to be here and grateful for vision for you and this opportunity to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom A. from Maryland. Next up will be April B. from Virginia, followed by Eunice. Good morning, April.
Good morning. This is April B. in Virginia. Can I be heard?
Loud and clear. But you just come in swinging. We'll let you know.
Great. Thank you. I look at this passage and so many things here. You know, first of all, beyond the point where we could quit on our own willpower. I don't think there was ever a point that I could have quit on my own willpower. My mom told stories about me, like getting into the cabinets and drinking soda, eating snacks, and you know, from a very young age, I remember, you know, I ran away from home when I was like 4. I ran away from home down to my aunt's house down the street because my mom was, you know, baking a dessert for someone, something, and she wouldn't let me have any. She was like, no, you can't have it. It's not for you. So I was mad. I was going down the street to my aunt's house because she always had desserts and, you know, she was always willing to give me stuff. I mean, that was at like 4. So, you know, I've never had that capacity. And, you know, so this idea of quitting for a year, are you kidding? There was no way. I had nothing in the way of really managing or controlling my food before this program. Absolutely none. I remember, you know, going through the diets that people talk about, but never like reasonable diets, like, you know, portion-controlled protein, vegetables, starch, fruit. No. It was always something crazy, like diet soda first thing in the morning and diet shakes that had me nauseous all day so that I couldn't eat, and then, you know, binging at night or, like, picking a particular vegetable and condiments and, like, that was what I would eat for, you know, lunch and dinner. That would be my plan, and that wouldn't even last a day. It's just I have, you know, of my own, I have, you know, no control. The idea that they're like, you know, some will be drunk the day after making their resolution. Yep, that'd be me. I'd be on that food within a day, maybe 3 days. Best case scenario for me would be 3 days. So I love reading this paragraph and remembering that I am at this level. I am this low bottom compulsive overeater. With the food, I am, you know, helpless, hopeless, powerless, got nothing without this program and without that spiritual connection and higher power. I would be back in there today in a heartbeat. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, April B. from Virginia. Our focus of study today is in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 34, if you want to join us. Joining on the discussion, we're looking at paragraph 1. We're unpacking that one today, and it begins with, as we look back, and ends with most of them within a few weeks. In 6 minutes, we're going to open up the lines to additional comments for that paragraph, so please consider joining in. In the meantime, we're going to listen to what Eunice's experience is with paragraph 1, and then next up will be Bessie before we open up the lines again. 6 minutes, folks. Hey, Eunice, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning to you. Thank you for your service. As we look back, you know, if the big book didn't ask me to look back, I don't want to look back at that, at my past eating behavior. But I was very, very young, becoming a compulsive overeater. By the time I was 9, I weighed 155 pounds. And they started me on the pills. I was taking pills to lose weight. And, of course, that would work for a little while, and then I'd gain the weight back. And then at 11, it was another set of different colored pills. And then in high school, it was the same thing. But the weight always came back, and my eating always just increased. And then I really developed bad eating behaviors in my early 20s, you know. Announce you're going on a diet, and next thing you know, you don't want people to know you're off the diet, and you're eating in the bathroom secretly and hiding your food, and yet mourning the fact that you, for me, since my compulsive overeating shows up as obesity, then mourning the fact that I couldn't wear those lovely clothes, what I considered lovely clothes that were for small, thinner women. Most of my life was in and out of the rooms because I couldn't get it. I didn't get it. When I first came to Overeaters Anonymous, it was like I had found the place, but it was still come for the vanity, don't stay for the sanity. And once I thought I looked, once I thought in my head, oh, I look beautiful. I don't need this anymore. I can watch my food. I can take care of the food. And I never did. Eventually, I'll always gain the weight back, and then I'd have to crawl back to OA. But what I didn't get is what I've gotten now was I was so sick and tired of the weighing and the measuring and the manipulating food and wondering what time my next meal was. But this time I've had through a vision for you, this incredible peace that God has given me around food, that I can go anywhere today, I can be anywhere today, and not feel the pangs of being insatiable, of being hungry. Because of a vision for you, I've been able to fill it up. Thank you. Fill it up with what God needs me to be filled up with, which is Him. And I have this wonderful, wonderful peace. And thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Eunice L. from New Jersey. Next up for 3 minutes before we open it up to the rest of the fellowship once more is Bessie O. from Colorado. Good morning, Bessie.
Good morning. Thank you for your lead. This is Bessie O. from Colorado. And there are so many parts of this paragraph that just are so important for me to remember. You know, I think the first thing that strikes me is that, you know, if anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, for me, it was confusing, and it took a lot for me to reach the point where I recognized that I was in a dangerous area, and that I was a real compulsive overeater. And what confused me is I would always fall. I had this idea that if I look normal on the outside, I am not sick. And that is just not true. That is not true. So I guess I just want to share that, you know, I want to share that because coming from this place of, you know, externals are the most important thing. It took me a while to recognize, you know, the severity and how that I truly was in this dangerous area. The other thing that strikes me in this passage is the part where it says, you know, we think, what does it say about Scant? If he is a real alcoholic and very far advanced, there is Scant chance of success. And they talk about remaining sober for a year. I mean, thank God, fortunately for me, like my cycle has been 3 weeks, and, you know, who even knows what it would progress to. But it would be like, whew, okay, my willpower can get me to about 3 weeks. And then I'm done. And then the way my cycle continues is it's like, okay, 3 weeks, feel a little better, look a little better. Okay, I can just add a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. And you know, I spent so much time chasing the circumstance, and this is in program, you know, quitting on my own power within program, repeatedly trying things like, well, it used to be that I could just eat 3 meals a day, you know, surely I can do that again. And what I recognize is it's just not the right way of looking at it. You know, for me, I just have to keep moving in recovery, and it's moving toward God, and I'm either moving away from God or moving toward God. I'm stealing that from someone else, and I'm probably misquoting it, but it just completely, that's how my recovery works. And the way my disease works is, just that subtle, like veering off course, subtly veering off course. So I'm so grateful for this paragraph, you know, and I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Betsy O from Colorado. Not to discourage anybody at all ever from sharing, because we want to hear from each one of you. We do value everyone's experience, but we ask that you might limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you'd like to, if you have not shared in the last few days, you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, then perhaps your state. I'll take a lineup.
Christy
Raj
M. Nancy
Chris,
L.
Did I hear Christy M? And I heard Roz.
Yes.
Did I hear a Nancy?
Yes.
And Alexis F.
Alexis F. We might have room for one more.
Cheryl, no.
Paula D. And what was the L? Did I hear an L?
Cheryl L.
Cheryl L. Let's see if we have time for all those folks. We might have to keep the last one to maybe 2 minutes or something, if you don't mind, Cheryl, but we'll see what we can squeeze in there. We want to get as many as possible. So we'll start out with, what did I catch it? Christine, did I catch that right? And then Roz G. Press star one, please, Christine, if I have that right. Oh, Christine,
yep.
Looks like. Okay, great, thanks.
Yes, Christine.
You're 3 minutes, start now. Okay, perfect.
All right, thank you.
You're
Hi,
on.
I'm Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic, and overeater from Oregon. And I really appreciate the part of this passage that talks about this, trying to do some controlled eating. And to me, this is all about step one. And even though it's not the step that we think we struggle with, for me, it was the step that I struggled with that kept me relapsing. So I started the program and was in it for 2 or 3 years before I could get abstinent. And I think when I showed up, I was desperate. I knew my life was out of control. But I think there was a part of me that really thought that my will, that I had this will that would be able to control it someday. And I would start to do all these things that would get me healthy. I would go to meetings. I would weigh and measure. I would do the steps. I would do outreach calls. And then I would think, okay, I'm abstinent, I got this. Like, and then I would pick my will back, dropping things off. Like, maybe I wouldn't go to a meeting, or I would just go to one, or I don't really need to weigh that. And I would start to let go of those things. And it was kind of like this dance of, like, me picking up my will and then relapsing and then submitting again. And I kind of did that for a year. Like, I would have 2 weeks of abstinence and then I would relapse, or I would have a month and then I would relapse, and it would kind of get longer and longer. And I heard this analogy once of, like, our will and our higher power as like a tug of war of, and it, in order for a tug of war to end, it just takes one person to drop one side of the rope, right? And that has to be me. Like, I have to be willing to say, you know, higher power, God, who I call God, like, I'm leaving it in your hands. But I kept, like, in my own subconscious way, like, picking it up again and thinking, okay, I've got this. I don't need my higher power. I've got this figured out. I'm good. I can do this thing again, or I don't really need to do these things. and then like back down I would go. And I like what I like about the program, and it talks about, is like, this is a daily reprieve. I have to get up every single morning and consciously make that decision to like let go of my side of the rope. And I have to make a conscious decision to let my higher power be the one in control, because my will is a very subconscious and subtle thing.
That would be time.
Thank you. I'll wrap up. Before I know it, I can try to step up and be in charge again. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chrissy. From Oregon, Roz G. from California. You're up for 3 minutes.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My name's Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm in Palmdale, California. And what I was thinking about was the last line, some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most within a few weeks. And for me, I used to do these coffee enema weekends, and I called them a colon cleanse. And I read these books by these yogis, one in particular, which, you know, God bless that book and everything. But, you know, for me, I thought it was going to be the answer to my problem. I thought I was going to get skinny if I spent the weekend drinking tea and doing coffee enemas. And the book said, the enemas were 3 times a day too. And the book said, after the weekend, ease your way back into eating. Don't just eat, your normal food. You have to ease your way back with like soup or not, you know, but just broth, that kind of thing. But one time, my sister came over, and my mom and sister were over, and we decided to go to a burger joint, and I ordered a double cheeseburger, fries, and a Coke on the same time that I was supposed to be finishing the coffee enema. And it's just one example of the dramatic things with laxative abuse and working out. The exercise. If I go to this boot camp weekend, I do these boot camp workouts where I'm sweating like crazy, running and lifting all these heavy weights. I will. I don't know if that's time. Did you say time, Melanie?
No, not yet.
Okay,
just about 30 seconds or so. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, just you know, and none of it ever worked, ladies, like, and gentlemen. Same with me. It's a one day at a time deal. It's a morning prayer and waking up as a pumpkin every day. I have a daily reprieve. No weekend is ever going to do it. Not even a big book weekend. It's still every day. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. from California. Next up is Nancy L. followed by Alexis F. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. Thank you, Nancy, compulsive eater in Southern California. This paragraph really speaks to me because, and the sentence that really gets me is, though you may be able to stop for a considerable period. I knew my behavior was always compulsive, and I knew I was an overeater, but as soon as I heard that phrase together, I didn't need to test it anymore. I'd been testing it my whole life. I knew exactly what I was, and thank goodness for OA and Vision, I found the solution to that. But I would go on all of these paid away diets and I would do good, but I couldn't even keep a perfect day because I found ways to cheat it. I'll just have an extra shake, or I'll just have a little bit extra on my plate. And that's my disease. I've eaten healthy my whole life, but 3 healthy meals instead of one serving is still overeating and still put on over 100 pounds. So thanks to this program, I've just a little over a year. I am working on progress, not perfection. And I really have discovered that I am a serious compulsive overeater. And thanks to this, I will be staying and I will be continuing to eat in the healthy lifestyle that I'm running. It's no longer a diet. It is a healthy lifestyle guided by my higher power. So thank you for letting me share, and I have passed. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you very much, Nancy L. from California. Next up, Alexis F. from New Jersey. Hey, Alexis.
Hi there. Thanks for your service. This is Alexis F. from New Jersey. I was talking to my sponsor one day, and I said I did it again. I ate this dessert that was my favorite over and over for years, hadn't been since I was a little kid. And she said, of course you did. You're powerless. When you find that higher power that gives you power in your life and takes away this powerlessness and unmanageability about food and all of your alcoholic foods especially, then you'll be able to put it down gracefully. And I did put it down 7.5 years ago, and it was because I prayed about it and asked God if He could help me with it, because I said, God, what am I going to do, because I really can't stop this. And He did a miracle for me. And a lot of people say miracles are inside yourself, but they come from something outside yourself as well. I have a son who says you make your own miracles in life. He believes, success is part of the individual's right. And maybe it is. But in this program, I find the liberals and the conservatives. The liberals are the ones who say, I can eat completely in moderation. And the conservatives say one lettuce leaf over the measuring cup is broken abstinence. I found myself somewhere in the middle, in moderation and in balance. I exercise for 40 minutes a day, 40 minutes to an hour. I have things in balance in my life and in moderation. And it starts with my food. If I get too crazy with it, it starts with my relationship with God. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry for cutting off like that. That does seem abrupt sometimes. Next up would be Paula D, followed by Cheryl L. Good morning, Paula.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your continued service. This would be Paula D, currently from Florida. And as we read this, as we look back, that's the last place I want to do. But it says, as we look back. So I'll look back, but I'm going to stay in today and the events of today. If anyone questions whether he has entered this dangerous area, let him try liquor alone for 1 year. And then I'm going to drop it down. We occasionally remain sober for a year or more. Becoming serious drinkers again later. It's waiting for you. And I want to just say that I am what you would call a retread. You might even give me a double retread there. But a retread can still be of use. Because remember, it's used by a truck. But look at the side of the road. Eventually, the retread can't hold on anymore. And you will find it on the side of the road, useless. And only then did I realize, oh no, Paul, you cannot give to life anymore. And it ended with, some will be drunk the day after making their resolutions, most of them within a few weeks. I don't know if I can apply there. The only thing I would say, I had had a heart attack, and I needed some heart surgery. And this is what the doctor said to me 4 years ago, or 3 years ago. Losing time a bit, but I'm going to watch my 3 minutes. And Melanie, I know she's got my back here. He said, you look good on the outside. Well, wasn't that the goal? Wasn't that the goal, to look good on the outside? What did he mean by that? I think those who have walked this path know exactly what he meant. Not on the inside. What is going to carry me through life but the inside? Did God walk away from me? No. I walked away from him. I didn't seek him on a daily basis, but I want to end here. This may look like a harsh chapter, but oh Lord, it was needed, the same as what the doctor said. I didn't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear about the heart surgeries I had and, oh, now I'm full-blown diabetes. I didn't want to hear that. But finally, my ears were open. I want to thank you for this opportunity to share and know that I am finally back being a fellow traveler and trudging. Thank you again. With that, I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paula D. from Florida. It is so wonderful to hear your voice this morning. Next up, probably for our last share this morning, will be Cheryl L. And Cheryl, my apologies. It looks like we might have 2 minutes for you. But I would like for you to take that full two, if you wouldn't mind. Press
Good
star
morning.
One real quick, and we'll be able to hear you. There you are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Cheryl L., where are you from?
I'm from New Hampshire. Okay. This is my first time on this meeting. I've been doing the 7 a.m. meeting, so it's great to hear you all this morning. I've been writing a lot this morning, what I've heard so far, and it's just been really amazing. The line that really sticks out for me in this paragraph is, we occasionally remain sober for a year or more, becoming serious drinkers again later. I had 6 years in OA. I got to my goal weight. I stayed at my goal weight for those years. And I looked good on the outside, and I made a conscious decision that I had this. I knew what to do. I got this. I knew how to eat healthy. I enjoyed eating healthy, and I would continue to eat healthy. I just wasn't going to do all the rest of the program. And that, everyone, that is a recipe for disaster. I regained 40 pounds in 4 years. I struggled during those 4 years to find some measure of control. I did all these other things, you know, to avoid admitting that I was powerless over the food. And a miracle happened that brought me back to Overeaters Anonymous 3 weeks ago. So I just want to say that for me, it's critical that I seek my higher power's will, not my will. It's critical that, as I heard this morning, that I drop that rope every day of my willpower, that I report to my sponsor any changes that I need to make to my food plan, which does happen, but I really try to stick to it, and I try to get my thinking out of the way.
That would be time.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you very much for sharing as well. I know that was short. My apologies for that. That ends the sharing portion of our meeting this morning as we transition into the next 10 minutes of our meeting, the last 10 minutes of our meeting. So don't go away. We're not nearly done with this great meeting, and it was a wonderful, wonderful chance to be able to join you all. Thank you for everyone that shared their richness on this particular paragraph today and those that are in service to make this particular meeting possible. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that up with a serenity prayer for everyone to join in with, please. Leslie M., would you please read from page 164? A book is meant to be suggestive only. Leslie, are we able to hear you this morning? Sounds like perhaps not. Let me read that just to go ahead and in the interest of time. I got it right here. Thank goodness. Sometimes phones behave differently.
Can you hear me now, Melanie?
I can
Melanie,
surely
can you hear
you
me now?
Now. Good. Excellent.
Oh, I'm so,
I can.
I'm so sorry. So sorry. Thank you for your service, Leslie M.
Mm-hmm.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.